encounter that Jacob has on the bank of the Jabbok, an epiphany. Jacob wrestles with a man and then realizes he has encountered God. This is an epiphany, a revealing of God to Jacob. Moses has an epiphany when he encounters God on Mount Sinai. The specific epiphany we are celebrating today is the epiphany of Jesus to the Magi, but the Bible tells a number of epiphany stories. In even more general terms, epiphany can refer to the revealing of something new, the discovery of something new, an illuminating discovery. One might have an epiphany about a career choice or a relationship. An epiphany could be described as a new perception about something, an intuitive grasp of something that one realizes in a new or more specific way. I am sure that we have all had epiphanies in some way or another, and my hope for this epiphany story is that we would not only remember the story of Jesus being revealed to the Magi, but that we would remember our own epiphany stories, perhaps even experience an epiphany story. Perhaps we would experience God being revealed to us in a new way. Or we would remember times in the past when we had an intuitive grasp, an understanding of God, a new connection with God. How has God been revealed to you? What is your epiphany story? How has the divine creator of the universe been made manifest in your life? In other words, how have you experienced God? Our experience, our encounter of God, that is our epiphany story. It may have been a sudden aha moment when a light bulb went off, or it may have been a more gradual realization. You may recognize this image as one of our stained glass windows. It is the first window over here, kind of up towards the top on the right side. I wanted to point it out. If you can't see it from where you are, you might stop by after the service and get a closer look of that stained glass window. That window is in here all of the time. I don't know how many of us have noticed it. In some ways, that is how an epiphany of God is. God is always there, but we may not notice. God is still working and moving in this church, and so as we celebrate Epiphany, may we be more attuned to the way in which God is working among us. Epiphanies are still taking place. It was not a one-time event in the past, but it is the ongoing revelation of God to us. Often an epiphany contains an element of surprise. Something is being revealed or discovered that was not already known. If there's no surprise element, then it's not really much of an epiphany. There's not much to discover if you already know. Now, some of us like surprises. We enjoy the mystery. We enjoy the excitement. We enjoy discovering something new. For others, the word surprise may have negative connotations. The excitement may be outweighed by the anxiety of the unknown. I wonder if the way we feel about surprises might impact the way we experience God. Do we like the idea of being surprised by God, or does that idea frighten us? There is certainly an element of surprise in the Epiphany story in Matthew chapter 2. I would venture to guess that King Herod does not like surprises. So when he hears these foreigners, these magi, say the word king, and they're not talking about him, King Herod goes into panic mode. He does what powerful people often do, whatever he can to hold on to his power. He lies. He says that he too wants to go and worship the new baby, the new king. He tries to manipulate the Magi, suggesting that he shares their desire to celebrate this new king. When that doesn't work, he orders the murder of infants. Herod does all of this to protect his own power. But Herod is not as powerful as he thinks. Powerful people seldom are. Herod does know his power has limits, but he does not want his people to know that. He certainly does not want to give Rome any reason to doubt his power or ability to control his people, for he knows that if Rome doubts his ability to rule, they will quickly replace him with someone else. Herod's rule is based on fear, his own fear, and the fear he imposes on his people. Matthew tells us that when Herod is frightened by the announcement of the Magi that there is a new king, all of Jerusalem is frightened with him. They are frightened because King Herod employs fear to secure his power. And so if he is afraid, then this is sure to be a frightening time for all of them. Matthew's gospel shows us the dangerousness of the Christmas story in a way that Luke does not. The story of the Magi is not just a story about Jesus being revealed to the Gentiles, but it is a story about what powerful people do to hold on to power. One pastor describes it like this: Jesus, the light of the world, starts life as a political refugee. Our Savior is spirited out of the country on back roads. The infant Jesus is given a head start by the Magi, pagan people of color who defy an imperial edict and disobey King Herod's command, thereby involving themselves in civil disobedience and political subversiveness. Now, framing this story in such political terms may make us uncomfortable, but it is hard to get around the fact that Matthew chapter 2 is a political story. It is about a man with political power who is afraid of any threat to that power, even a baby. And this fear motivates him to do anything that he thinks might hold on to his own power, might protect his own power, even order the death of children. Perhaps this story should make us uncomfortable. The story of Matthew 2 is a tragedy, because although the life of Jesus was spared, how many other children, babies, toddlers, were murdered by a king protecting his own power? A king who should be protecting his people, but instead sacrifices his people, the most vulnerable among them, due to his own fear. In our time, it is not difficult to find situations in which we and the powers of our world have failed to protect children, have failed to protect the most vulnerable among us. However, I know that were we to name those specific examples of situations in our world, we would discover different opinions, even within this community. We would likely disagree about which people are the ones being oppressed and which people are the ones clinging to power. And then we would find ourselves in the middle of yet another power struggle over who is right and who is wrong. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Freedom is never voluntarily given by the oppressor. It must be demanded by the oppressed." We see the truth of that statement in the story of King Herod in Matthew chapter 2. Powerful people do not give up power willingly, not when they benefit from that power. And this includes us. We do not willingly give up lordship of our lives. We do not want to give up our own power, our own control, our own will, at least not until we finally understand that Jesus is Lord is good news. For Herod, Jesus is Lord does not sound like good news. Sometimes for us, Jesus is Lord does not sound like good news because it means we are not Lord. We are not in control. It is not about what we want, what we desire, what we think it is best. We do not want to give up that power. It is the instinct of the powerful, perhaps the instinct of all of us as humans, to cling to power. Herod chose power over truth. The question for us is, what will we choose? When we experience epiphany, the revelation of Jesus in our lives, how will we respond? Will we react in fear like Herod? Or will we step out in faith like the Magi, like Mary and Joseph, who undertook dangerous journeys, trusting the voices of angels and visions, trusting the whisper of God in their hearts? Will we choose fear and power? Or will we choose to follow the one who rejected power and who instead chose a cross, the very symbol of everything that is the opposite of power? A cross represents suffering, shame, rejection by the world. Jesus did not insist on being proven right because he knew he had nothing to fear. And friends, we have nothing to fear. Earthly powers like the Romans and the Herods of the world control their enemies by fear and threats and death. But when they did that to Jesus, Jesus overcame all of it. Jesus is a threat to the powers of the world. But the powers of the world are not a threat to Jesus, and so they are not a threat to us. We have nothing to fear. The story of Epiphany appears to be a frightening one. There is a power-hungry king. There are families escaping in the night, running for their lives. But this is a story about the mysterious ways in which God works, even in frightening times. God is always at work. These mysterious ways may be hidden at times, and then at other times we have moments of epiphany, moments of seeing, yes, God is at work. God has been at work all along. In the story of Matthew 2, we see how the wisdom of these foreigners, the Magi, is brought into conversation with the tradition of the community. It is the Magi's studying of the stars and their realization that this new star means something, along with the voices of the prophets that leads us to Bethlehem. The Magi follow the star, but it only brings them as far as Jerusalem until they stop and ask for directions. Unfortunately, the one they choose to ask is King Herod, and they ask him where the Messiah, the anointed one, was to be born. Well, Herod is surprised to hear news of this new anointed one, but he knows who to ask. And so he goes to the scribes and the chief priests, and they tell him the Messiah, the anointed one, was to be born in Bethlehem. They had studied the prophets. They knew the Messiah was to come to Bethlehem, but somehow they missed it until these foreigners came looking for him. And then they put it all together. The voices of the tradition, the insight of the foreigners, and those voices together is what revealed the Messiah had indeed been born in Bethlehem. I'm reminded of the way in which sometimes non-Christians seem to do a better job of acting like Jesus than Christians do. I imagine we've all seen examples of someone we know who does not claim to be a Christian, but when we look at their lives, we say, you know, they really do live the way I think Jesus would want us to live. In some ways, that's what the Magi do. They weren't followers of God the way that the Jewish people were, but they were doing what God had called them to do. And perhaps we too, at times, can gain wisdom from those outside of our community, outside of our tradition. Maybe even we can gain wisdom from those we consider outside of the faith. Because there is no one who is beyond the scope of God's reach. God does indeed work in mysterious ways. And God continues to work, even when God's ways are hidden to us. And so we have nothing to fear. God will prevail in the end. Good will prevail. Love will prevail. Even in the midst of this frightening world, we have nothing to fear. Though the world grabs for power and holds onto it at all cost, we don't have to live that way because we have nothing to fear. When my children were babies and cried for me, and sometimes even now, I would hold them and say, "It's okay. Mommy is here." That's what Epiphany is. God is here. Jesus was born into the world. Epiphany is when we recognize God is here. It's okay. God is here in the person of Jesus. We don't have to be afraid because God is here. God is with us, revealed to us. Let us pray. God, we thank you for Epiphany. We thank you that you are revealed to us. And God, we trust and believe that you reveal yourself to all people of the world, that you reveal yourself in different ways, that you reveal yourself through creation, through the voices of angels and prophets and vision, that you reveal yourself through Scripture, that you reveal yourselves through the church. We pray, God, that you would give us eyes of faith. And that, God, as you reveal yourself to us, we pray that we would recognize you. And we pray that we would respond in faith like the Magi and like Mary and Joseph, and that we would not be afraid to undertake what may seem to be dangerous journeys, that we may obey your voice, that we may obey your call in our lives. And we pray, God, that when we encounter those who, like Herod, are afraid and are clinging to power, that we, God, would hold strongly to you, to your hope, to your peace, and that we would remember we have nothing to fear. in this world where fear often dominates. We pray, God, that we would hear your still strong voice reminding us that you are here. You are with us. You have come into the world among us. You have taken on every frightening, every painful, every difficult obstacle that the world threw your way. And you prevailed in love. You rose to victory over death, and you promise us the same. We pray, God, that you would remind us over and over that we are yours, and that you would help us to faithfully follow you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.